House, please come to order. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please announce the total.
23 members present.
Please rise for prayer by Pastor Jim Patton of the Chapel by the Lake.
Once again, O Lord our God, we pause to acknowledge your sovereignty, salute your presence, and seek your guidance. Help us to remember that all things belong to you. You have given us the stewardship of the earth and its resources. Look with favor upon this house, upon the individual members of it. Give them compassion for those affected by legislative decisions. Give them a renewed sense of responsibility in their being. We thank you, O Lord, for the accomplishments of yesterday and for the challenges of tomorrow. In the name of Christ, amen.
Yeah, but that was awesome.
Clerk, please note the presence of the other half of the body. The chief clerk, please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal.
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 80th day.
Representative Meekins.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the House approve as certified by the chief clerk the journal for the 80th day.
Hearing no objection, the journal for the 80th day is approved as certified by the chief clerk. Are there guests for introduction in the House? Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, a constituent of myself and Representative Abood from District 9, and who works very hard and long hours for the Democratic Party, and that is Pat Brackey.
Are there other guests? Representative Adams?
Yes, in Gallery B, I've got three students from Kotzebue and also their instructor. I'd like to introduce today Ambler Huss, Robert Harris, Patty Shirk, and the instructor Dennis Johnson.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For quite a few years now, the Blatchley Junior High of Sitka has had a program by which the Social Studies Department, under the direction of Harvey Brandt, has a very competitive program in relation to Know Your State Government. And these young people get here by scoring high on examinations, by writing essays on various issues that are judged by everything, even including the English department. And this year, the young people that are sent here are Sherry Aitkins, they're in Gallery A over there, Chris Bell, Warren Lee, Sean Brooks, Todd Klein, Dave Fleeman, Dwina Larson, Jim Wooden, and Becky Wright, and Vic Milam.
Are there other guests for introduction? Messages from the governor.
Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 168, Finance amended by the Finance Committee. An act relating to state assistance for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
Community Regional Affairs and Finance.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 244, Finance amended by the Finance Committee. An act suspending the principal and interest due on certain loans authorized by law and by the Alaska Power Authority for power projects and redesignating the loans as grants for power projects and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take this moment to add, to move that to prayer be spread on the journal.
Thank you. Hearing no objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the House Transportation Committee has unanimously approved the appointment of Mr. Hesden D. Scoogle to the Alaska Transportation Commission, term expiring February 1, 1987. Signed sincerely, Representative Betty Cato, Chairman, House Transportation Committee. The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 139, a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for two positions at the Fairbanks Northern Regional Laboratory under consideration, and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Cotton, Buckholt, Moss, Adams, Carney, Rogers, and Malone, having no recommendation, Haugen and Montgomery. Senate Bill 139 has no further referral. The Committee on Finances at House Bill 148, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for the Real Estate Commission under consideration, and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Cotton, Buckholt, Moss, Adams, Carney, Malone, and Rogers, having no recommendation, Haugen and Montgomery. House Bill 148 has no further referral. The Committee on Transportation has had House Bill 264, a special appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for design and construction of a dock in Iliamna under consideration, and recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 264 and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mrs. Cato, Chairman, concurred in by Buckholt, Hayes, Sharoff, Metcalf, and Cato. Having no recommendation, Fanning. House Bill 264 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 296, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Public Safety under consideration, and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Cotton, Meekins, Buckholt, Moss, Adams, Carney, Haugen, Montgomery, Malone, and Rogers. House Bill 296 has no further referral. The Committee on Transportation has had House Bill 378, a special appropriation for firefighting equipment for the City of Whittier, under consideration, and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Cato, Chairman, concurred in by Buckholt, Metcalf, Jaroff, Hayes, and Cato. Signing do not pass, Fanning. House Bill 378 has a further referral to Finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, citations, and resolutions?
Citation. That shouldn't have been there. Citation in memoriam Victor Hotch by Representative Duncan. Citation honoring Western Alaska Health Aides by Representatives Fuller and Senator Ferguson. Citation honoring Loreen Harrison by Representative Hayes. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, my name be added to the citation for Mr. Hodge.
Hearing no objection, he will be shown as co-sponsor on the citation for Victor Hodge. House standardies. House, please come back to order. We're down to introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill 437 by Malone, Rogers, Miller, and Byrne. An act providing for payments to state residents for 1980 and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 455 by the Labor and Commerce Committee by request. An act relating to the regulation of contractors.
Labor and Commerce.
House Bill 456 by Rogers, Brown, Carney, and Moss. An act relating to agriculture and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 457 by Cato. An act making a special appropriation to the City of Cordova for the Chiniga Village relocation and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 458 by Hurlburt. An act authorizing capital punishment, classifying murder in the first degree as a capital felony, and establishing sentencing procedures for capital felonies.
Judiciary.
House Bill 459 by Adams and Byrne. and Act relating to the administration of local anesthetics.
Health, Education, and Social Services.
House Bill 460 by the Resources Committee. An Act relating to the Fisheries and Salmon Enhancement Taxes and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 461 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act relating to development of alternative energy sources and energy conservation.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 462 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act making special appropriations to provide financing for alternative energy loans and residential energy conservation and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 463 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An Act making special appropriations to provide financing for power projects and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 464 by Zharoff. An Act relating to vision and hearing examinations in public schools and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 465 by Zharoff. An Act making special appropriations for a vision and hearing screening program and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 466 by the Special Gas Pipeline Committee. An Act establishing the Alaska Royalty Trust and providing for an effective date.
Gas Pipeline Committee and Finance.
House Bill 467 by Rogers. An Act relating to state land and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 1 by Grusendorf, Cotton, Montgomery, Zharoff, and Hayes relating to reduced rate travel for older Alaskans aboard vessels of the State Marine Highway System. The Committee on Transportation has had House Concurrent Resolution 1 under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 1 Transportation and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Cato, Chairman, concurred in by Cato, Zharoff, Hayes, Metcalf, Rogers, and Buchholz. Fanning signed, do not pass. The Committee on Finance has had House Concurrent Resolution 1 under consideration and recommends that it be replaced with a Transportation Committee substitute and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Montgomery, Haugen, Freeman, Cotton, Moss, and Adams. Signing, do not pass unless amended, Rogers. Signing, no recommendation, Malone. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Meekins.
I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for HCR 1 be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Transportation Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 1 will be accepted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Representative Cato. Page 1, line 29. After the word making, delete lodging available to senior citizens at a reduced rate. Insert in its place, state rooms aboard state ferries available at a reduced rate to senior citizens when traveling between Alaskan ports.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the amendment's adopted. The clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Mr. Rogers. Page 1, line 27. Delete senior citizens, insert older Alaskans.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm concerned about the resolution as it reads now, and that it would extend free passage to every senior citizen from throughout the world on a space available basis. And it seems to me that the purpose that for which we've passed this resolution several times in the past has been that a number of the older Alaskans, particularly in southeastern Alaska,
In order to visit their families, we do want to offer them the opportunity to do it without charging them if there is space available. But this now extends this to a year-round basis and then to all senior citizens. And it seems to me that some of the well-organized senior citizens groups might try to book passage, say, from Seattle to Ketchikan, and then have a number of senior citizens who are trying to get on via this free pass throughout Southeast Alaska. And I would expect you might have a condition where a number might get bumped at certain areas. You know how busy it can be in Southeast during the summertime, and run into a lot of complaints. I think this will cause a lot of problems for the ferry system if you allow essentially tourists this kind of free passage. And I think it could be a real nightmare for the administrators of the marine highway system. I think that Alaskan residents are more used to the kind of service we have and the problems that can come up, and I don't think that would be the same kind of problem as the more tourists. Essentially, for the marine highway system is a highway that's used by the residents of the state, and I think that for that reason, I think seeing older Alaskans here, as we have every time we pass this similar resolutions in the past, would work better.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not hung up on providing transportation for senior citizens on a space available basis, and we discussed this on the Transportation Committee because we felt that there might be, as the previous speaker said, senior citizens stranded from one point to the other in the marine highway system. And we decided that because it is obvious that it's just going to be a space available basis for this kind of transportation, and although we have extended the travel availability time from October 1st to May 15th, we feel that the passengers themselves are aware of the conditions, and if they do get stuck in one community or the other, that it is their responsibility. We found this to be no problem at all, that we decided that it would be practical and possible to allow senior citizens to participate in this program. As far as tourists are concerned, we found that many of the senior citizens who come here are booked by travel agents who have specific time schedules, and they may not deviate from those schedules, as sometimes they run out of time or money. So they may not be taking too much advantage of this program anyhow. So we are basically opening this up at space available basis only, and there should be no fear that it might happen in a very gross way to really intimidate or make people mad if they take advantage of the program.
Representative Grusendorf.
Mr. Speaker, addressing the amendment, I have no problems with it, except that we might have a constitutional question involved. As we all know, the marine transportation highway system is heavily federally funded, and even any renovation or work upon our ferries has a very heavy federal subsidy. And the only reason we put the senior citizen in there is to avoid any constitutional problems. But I have no problems with amending it to say Alaskan citizens, with the understanding that we may also have to accept senior citizens. We find that in the travel of senior citizens, should they embark or get on the ferry in Seattle, they actually pay the full price by the time they get to the first Alaskan port, which is Ketchikan. And then any senior citizen who would care to stand on the ferry at space available is a pretty hardy individual, and I'm sure that there's a lot of people that wouldn't want that type of inconvenience at that age to be traveling around the ferry system as a space available type of passenger. But I really have no objection to the amendment.
Representative Fanning.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Addressing just the amendment, I think the member from Fairbanks is very correct in that the wording senior citizens will invite the entire country and a lot of well-organized groups to travel on our ferries. We did have testimony, however, to the extent that even though in the previous resolutions we used the word older Alaskans, that was in fact unconstitutional, and that the current policy was to allow senior citizens.
Representative Abboud.
Would the maker of the amendment explain to me the difference, or rather let me rephrase that, are you changing the senior citizens to older citizens because of the continuity of the older citizens being shown in this bill in the previous wording of it, or is this, I don't understand why we're changing to older, but we have senior.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, the reason for the use of the word older Alaskans is that last year's legislative resolve, number two, we also said older Alaskans.
Representative Abboud.
Why the senior then in the previous correspondence relating to senior? Should we not be consistent in older or senior? I'm very interested because it's got a thing soft to my heart. I got to know which is a senior citizen. Which is an older
thing.
I may qualify and one and not qualify.
Or both. Is there further discussion? Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Vasca, you have the floor.
Thank you. I still worry about consistency by voters when you come to things that are clearly discriminatory. I will vote in favor of the concurrent resolution, but it does draw lines on something. I don't hear any arguments on consistency based on discrimination. Thank you.
Representative Fanning.
Mr. Speaker, as soon as we get off the amendment, Representative will hear those arguments.
House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. We are debating amendment number two. Is there further debate? Question before the House is the passage of amendment number two. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
18 yeas, 20 nays.
So amendment number two has failed. Do we have other amendments?
Amendment number three by Mr. Randolph. Page one.
House, come to order.
Amendment number three by Mr. Randolph. Page one, line 27. Delete senior citizens, insert all Alaskans.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Anticipating that the last motion would get passed, I assume that if it was going to be good for one segment of the population, it would be good for all segments of the population. I still think that's the case, as the bill presently is worded, it does discriminate against people on the basis of age.
Are you going to move the amendment?
Oh, pardon me, sir. I would move the amendment. Ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection?
Yes, sir.
There is objection. Representative Randolph.
Continue my discussion, and I think if we're going to make this kind of consideration, it ought to be for all Alaskans, not just for a certain segment of Alaskans. And the discrimination based on age, I think, is questionable and not appropriate, and I would ask for the body's support of the amendment.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The testimony in committee on the reason for extending the free passage was the economic difficulty of many senior citizens to travel on the Marine Highway system. I think that's a good argument, and that a number of people, again, particularly in the Southeast area, it's difficult for them to visit their families. And I would agree that there's an economic difficulty for people of all ages, for poor people of all ages to visit their families via the Marine Highway system. And because we do charge that, that is a problem. This is on a space available basis, and I think that the same constitutional argument that was brought up earlier about Alaskans versus non-Alaskan senior citizens could be brought up on the age basis, and for that reason I support the amendment.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, let's join the real world for a minute. This is a resolution recommending something to the Marine Highway Division. It has no binding effect whatsoever. If we send them over a resolution saying, hey, let's give a freebie to everybody that can walk down the ramp to get on the ferry, they're going to give it all the consideration that it deserves. They're going to throw it right in the wastebasket. And if the member from Fairbanks, the members from Fairbanks, are serious about free transportation on the ferries, and hey, it might not be a bad idea, but if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Let's introduce a bill on the subject. Let's hold some hearings on that subject and look into the fact that perhaps the Marine Highway ought to be free, just like I can walk up a street someplace else, another highway free. Might not be a bad idea, but if we're going to do it, let's look at it and do the job right. Let's not just tag on cute amendments onto a bill that deals with senior citizens and kill any prospect for getting this done at the present time. I'm not crossing out myself as a possible vote for the idea at a later time, but I would certainly vote no against something that would just absolutely mean that this resolution will go nowhere except the wastebasket. If it ever gets to the Department of Marine Transportation, I probably wouldn't even get that far with this sort of an amendment in it.
Representative Griesendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Time and time again, the Supreme Court, in handling cases such as this dealing with discrimination, they found that it is fair to come up with what we call classification. Not too long ago in this body, we were discussing minors working. Definitely this would be a classification. In this case, we use those under 16. So it's a very typical type of thing. If we said people 65 years or older, that would be acceptable unless we put a restriction there except Finlanders. Then we have a constitutional problem. But this type of classification is not unconstitutional.
Question for the House is the adoption amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
7 yeas, 32 nays.
Amendment number 3 has failed. Are there other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Is there debate on the resolution? Representative Kusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Back in 1974, this body, through a House concurrent resolution, submitted to the Governor and the Division of Marine Transportation a request that people who were 65 years or older could travel on space available on the ferry system. They, however, at that time had certain months by which the elderly people could not use the ferry service. This was between May 15th and October 1st. Now we have a problem here, and this at that time was decided this is our heavy tourist season. And at that time, revenues for the Alaska State Ferry System, which is still heavily subsidized, was extremely important to us. But then we come to the question, who does the ferry system serve? In this case, we find that it has been serving the tourists. These months that are mentioned, the month of May, June, July, August, and September, happen to be the months that in Southeast Alaska and Southwest Alaska are very pleasant times of the year. In fact, this is the time of the year where the younger people are out of school, the elderly people in the various communities can visit their relatives and families. When you get to the latter part of the season, this basically is harvest time, where fishing, berry picking, other activities take place. Now, some of you are probably thinking in terms of the mainline ferry service on space available. Yes, but we have a new innovation now in Southeast Alaska and perhaps in Southwest. We call this the shuttle ferry. And the shuttle ferry is a smaller ferry that goes between the smaller communities in Southeast Alaska, going to the larger communities as well. In other words, this type of program would help those in Cake, Angoon, Hoonah, moving back and forth to see their relatives and friends. My main concern is the time of the year. My main concern is the type of people that use the Alaska State Ferry System. The last time I used the Alaska State Ferry System was in 1968. That's when I was considerably younger and didn't have as much money and thus had to take the time and the travel. Right now, if you go on the Alaska State Ferry System, you'll see two types of basic users, the young and the elderly. You have to have time in order to enjoy the Alaska State Ferry System. Now, we're talking about walk-on only, Alaskan ports only. According to Jim Idy, who was the head of the marine transportation there, his estimates that the loss in revenue would be roughly $184,000, assuming that these people use it. Now, I maintain that the ferry service is to serve Alaskans. This is by one way which we could probably get the maximum use during the best time of years to use that ferry on space available. With this is one reason why I think this would be helpful to us in southeast Alaska, helpful to the elderly. I don't think we'd have any problem because normally they're traveling between ports. In just about every port, they have friends and relatives. Should they be bumped or something happen, arrangements could be made. Thank you.
Representative Fanning. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak against the resolution for several reasons that some have been touched on before. The same Director of Division of Marine Highway System, Mr. Idy, in fact, did testify in front of the committee that allowing this type of operation in the summer months would indeed likely create havoc in many ports, smaller ports, whereby passage on a first-come, first-served basis was allowed, but then once you got to Metlakatla or Cake or Angoon or Hoonah or Pelican, Falls Pass, Cold Bay or King Cove, and had 10 people get on, you would have some senior citizens who had not planned, and in some of those places did not have facilities to take care of them overnight, who would have to be bumped. And I think that it would be very remiss for us in this state to endorse this type of situation during the time of year that we know and the head of the ferry system has testified is booked full. It's quite frequently very solid from port to port, not necessarily during every port or in between every port, but I think that we're going to have lots of problems here, and I can't imagine travel agencies who would be advertising this putting the appropriate warnings out. I think that we should notice in 74 we suggested that in the off season this is a good idea, and it was a good idea and it's worked well. The original bill that was introduced this year called for a reduced rate for senior citizens. That would have allowed the administration of the Marine Highway System to in fact make bookings in advance and know who was going to be traveling in advance. This first come, first served basis makes no arrangements of that type whatsoever. And I guess I'm kind of surprised that the body defeated the resolution for all Alaskans and didn't in fact say all citizens. That's the tendency that these type of things seem to have to go, and no amount of common sense in regards to the administration of the program seems to take place. I think that it would be very remiss for us to pass this type of legislation, which would encourage this state to cause problems for senior citizens, and I can imagine that the first time Senator Ray's mother gets bumped in Cake, that next year we'll be buying hotels for the state for these people who got bumped last year. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm surprised by the remarks offered by the representative from Fairbanks. It was my understanding that one of the basic principles of this party platform is freedom of choice for people, and I think that senior citizens ought to be able to figure out, time you get to 65 years of age, they ought to be able to figure out what they want to do and what risks they want to take in traveling on the system. So I find that a little inconsistent from what I thought was the principles of the party represented by the last speaker. But Mr. Speaker, generally, this resolution is just a minor modification of a program we have in effect now. It makes two changes. One would extend the privilege to all senior citizens to ride on a space available basis, and the second thing would do it on a year-round basis. As far as I know, the present program's working pretty well, and don't anticipate a big problem with this change. And I think that we ought to try it and see if it works. If it doesn't work, well, then won't do it anymore. Mr. Speaker, on another subject, the fiscal note on doing this, I think, was estimated $184,000 by the Division of Marine Transportation. As near as I can tell, and I checked into it, that the way they made that calculation is that they estimated that 4.5% of the people traveling would fall in this category and they'd all ride free. But, Mr. Speaker, I think that that's a worst-case assumption. I think that a lot of people that are traveling, senior citizens traveling on the Marine Highway system, have booked passage as part of another more extended trip. And number one, they have the financial resources to make sure that they are able to stay on schedule. And so the total amount of the anticipated fiscal note, I think, will never come to pass. I think it would be much less. And I want to put that information in front of the body in that that's appears to be a worst-case estimate by the Division of Marine Transportation. I think most of the tourists are going to continue to book passage and pay the tab so that they have the passage guaranteed. And I urge the adoption of the resolution.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My main concern about this bill here is, what are we here to do? Are we here to serve the people? Are we here to answer an immediate need? Is there a financial difficulty from people having to travel? Or are we furnishing vacations? Now, I expressed before my concern that we are treating a certain exclusive group of our senior citizens or older Alaska, whatever you want to put it, with kid gloves. And I think most of the, some of the legislators are more worried about the votes involved than they're worried about the true need. Let's give a breakdown, if I may, sir, of some of our senior citizens who I really don't think have a need. I think the average working person or stiff has a greater need than this group of people. I'll use by numbers. We now just passed through the bill that allows $250 a month extra for our senior citizen, and that will go to 8,357 people. Now, also, we might wonder if they're going to be traveling back and forth, are they going to lose their bonus there? But also, of this group here, 2,314 are in our PERS system, which is very nice. We have a nice pension plan. 1,245 are in the TRS system, which is also very nice. That amounts to $1,044 a month, plus your 10% COLA, plus your $50 a month bonus, and it's very nice. You know, I hope we keep that part intact. But how far are we going to go and taking care of this group, who I think are well pampered so far? Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, two or three quick things. Number one, please don't let yourself be discouraged by the specter of travel agents down south booking great numbers of senior citizens to come up and clog the ferries. Travel agents get paid on commission, Mr. Speaker. So there's no way that a travel agent, the fact is the travel agents will probably keep this the deepest, darkest secret from their clients that they possibly can. So that's not a problem at all. Number two, I'd like to indicate to you that even on the shuttle ferries, Mr. Speaker, it is a rare day that they're up to capacity as far as the passenger decks are concerned. True enough, cars are a problem, and if we were allowing free passage for anybody in the summertime for on the car deck, or for that matter, in the staterooms on the mainline ferries, I think we would be coming into a real problem. But only once or twice a year, Mr. Speaker, if then, are the mainline ferries ever even approaching being full.
And it's just about that rare, even on the smaller ferries. So I think the problems that have been raised are far more apparent than real. As far as dealing with an exclusive group, Mr. Speaker, it's not exclusive at all. All we got to do is keep breathing, and everyone in this room is going to reach that age one of these days.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, 7 years ago I came to this chamber, and I was all full of good ideas and everything. And every time there was a debate, I would jump up. I still tend to do that occasionally. And, you know, I found out one thing, though. You don't fool around somebody else's district. You know, I really don't have any ferries in my district. And spelled with an E. As far as any other, I'm not quite sure. And the marine highway system does not go through District 20, and something tells me the people in the coastal areas that are affected by the marine highway system are in favor of this, and some of the younger members of the House will find out when they do start fooling around in somebody else's district what the results are. If this were some terrible raid on the Treasury, if there was some terrible mismanagement or something like that, and we were dealing with something rising the level of our constitutional obligation to watch the purse strings, then maybe. Otherwise, it's not all that big a deal, and it must be the phases of the moon, or somebody thinks this is a cow moose bill or something.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, I do have a ferry marine highway system in my district. I concur very wholeheartedly with the representative from Juneau. In the Transportation Committee, I did not understand Mr. Idy to say that there would be a tremendous impact. I also agree with Representative from Kenai that the fiscal note is probably unreal.
Question before the House. Does the passage of the Transportation Committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number one as amended? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
34 yeas, 5 nays.
So House concurrent committee substitute for House concurrent resolution number one amended has passed the House. Representative Carney.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests, please?
We are under introduction of guests.
In Gallery B, I have a constituent here from Wasilla who's worked with the Bristol Bay Regional Resource Center in Anchorage, Leo Holler.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, under introduction of guests, you and I have five guests in the gallery as well. They're Juneau Student Council members in Gallery B, I believe they all are. Dean Callison, Burke Barrick, Ginger Patton, Gene Spence, and Cynthia Tindall.
Representative Sutcliffe. Yes, in Gallery B, I have four constituents, or to be constituents, from Larson Bay in Kodiak, Frida Panamaroff, Joanne Panamaroff, Carol Ambrosia, and Bella Ambrosia, and they are here on the Juneau Douglas fly-in program. Are there other guests for introduction? Brings us back to consideration of daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 10 by Cato, Grusendorf, and Phillips, relating to the 15th Annual Boy State at Camp Carroll. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Concurrent Resolution 10 under consideration and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Fuller, Miller, Cuddy, Abood, and Brown. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Is there a debate? Question before the House is the passage of House Concurrent Resolution Number 10. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, no nays.
House concurrent resolution number 10 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of the daily calendar and to unfinished business. Is there unfinished business to come before the House?
Briefly, please, Mr. Speaker.
House stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Is there unfinished business to come before the House? I would like to change two bill referrals on bills that were introduced this morning. House Bill 461, an act relating to development of alternative energy sources and energy conservation, was referred to Labor and Commerce and Finance. The referral will be Resources and Finance. House Bill 462, an act making special appropriations to provide financing for alternative energy loans and residential energy conservation and providing for an effective date. Referral was Labor and Commerce and Finance. It will be changed to Resources and Finance. Is there further unfinished business? Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Resources Committee, we have House Bill 380, which is an appropriation for litter recycling. And at this time, I would like to waive the referral on that one and pass it on to the next committee.
Is the next committee referral finance? Is that correct?
Yeah. Committee of Finance.
Right. Hearing no objection, the referral will be waived. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? This is unfinished business. This is announcements. Representative Brown.
Gotcha. This afternoon at 1:15, the House Judiciary Committee will be considering HB 395, an act designating the Anchorage Citizens Arbitration and Mediation Project, Inc., a state project, as a state project in non-judicial dispute resolution, and HB 396, an appropriation relating to the same matter. I think both those are by Mr. Clarkson. And there's another schedule change on Saturday. We will be meeting as indicated, but we will not be considering House Bill 377. That will be rescheduled. It's all right, Tony. We'll get you next week. Instead, we'll be continuing our deliberations on House Bill 153, Ethics in Government.
Other announcements? Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Labor and Commerce Committee will be meeting at 12:30 in the room 519. It's the Finance Committee. We'll be meeting and hearing proposals from the Native American grantees and the various members from private industry council and so forth. And it'll be on hearing their proposals for the state on training and employment programs. And then at 1:30, we're going to be hearing House Bills 23 and 24, establishing a personal loan for Alaska residents. And also at that time, we'll be hearing House Bills 430 and 431, which retain to the same subject that were introduced by our committee.
Representative Smith.
Can we revert for a moment to unfinished business?
We are under unfinished business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Many of you may have noticed a new face in the room today. I would like to introduce Brenda Jones, our new page, and she's from Ketchikan. Brenda, will you stand up so they know for sure which one you are? I just want to throw in a little bit of extra about Brenda. She attended Girls State last year and as a result was chosen for Girls Nation. So she comes with a little bit of extra background in government proceedings, and the bill that she and the representative from Fairbanks took to Girls Nation was passed. So she has a little bit of know-how herself.
Other announcements? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, House Finance at 1:30. We'll take up again, and hopefully for the last time, House Bill 294, Supplemental Appropriation of the Department of Law. House Bills 4 on property tax relief, Senate Bill 125, Municipal Assistance and Revenue Sharing, and House Bill 366, it's a special appropriation to Alaska State Housing Authority for the purchasers of homes under the Bartlett Housing Act.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Finance Subcommittee on the University will meet at 3 today in joint session with House Hess, and all members are invited. It's the video conference on instructional telecommunications. I'd note the calendar shows this as happening in the Hess Committee room. It's not. It's in the Finance Committee room. That's at 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Representative Cato.
Mr. Speaker, the House Transportation Committee will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning for bill markup.
Other announcements? Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Community and Regional Affairs will be meeting tomorrow morning on House Bill 367, which is the sales tax and use tax reimbursement.
Representative Gardner.
Resources Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today. We're going to be meeting in Courtroom A because it will be a joint meeting of the House and Senate Resources Committee. Also, State Affairs Committee is meeting with us for part of the meeting. We'll be hearing energy testimony from consultants from the National Council of State Legislature on bills that were introduced in the last couple of days.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question through the chair to the chairman of the Labor and Commerce Committee. The calendar carries 12:15, or the announcements on the back of the calendar carry 12:15 for the meeting to hear from the people on the state employment and training program. Is that time to move back?
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, as indicated, the Hess Committee will meet at 3 p.m. On the briefing on the University of Alaska. The formal session of the Hess Committee will start at 4 p.m. in the Hess Room regarding House Bill 95 and House Bills 262 and 263, as previously announced. In addition, there will be a work session tonight. I'd like to ask the members of the Hess Committee to meet immediately after the session to work out exactly when it was. I originally announced it for 5, some conflicts there, but I'd like to meet with the members, and then we'll have that posted on the board as soon as we determine. I can't remember, Mr. Speaker, if I announced yesterday, but the schedule for next week was in your box. If you didn't get a copy and are interested in the Hess schedule for next week, you can get one in my office.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the House State Affairs Committee will not be meeting on the bills that are indicated on the printed schedule. Instead, those have been deferred, and instead we'll sit in for the first portion of the meeting in the resources meeting at 3 o'clock in the courtroom. At least one of the bills that the NCSL, National Conference of State Legislatures, has put together for the resource people also deals with a bill that's in our committee, Representative Rogers' energy audit and retrofit bill. So we'll be sitting in to pick up whatever smarts we can from the NCSL people on that, and then as soon as we have heard that, members can leave as they wish.
Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder to those members sitting on the subcommittee hearing the are working on the guide bill. We will meet tonight at 7 p.m. hopefully to complete the bill itself.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Republican caucus at 5 p.m. In the Butchervich room today.
Are there other announcements? Special orders. Representative Meek. Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I have the floor to speak on the new international airport wing of the international airport?
Do you have the floor?
Anchorage. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just would like to bring up to this body opportunity for me to speak on the new wing of the international airport. Mr. Speaker, I have received information that new satellite airport for the international section of the Anchorage Airport is going to open its bids for one exclusive foreign currency exchange concession for the new satellites, which is about 900,000 square feet. There are now four such businesses in the main terminal, which I guess they will continue to continue their business in that part of the airport. However, the foreign international section of the terminal will only have one exclusive foreign exchange concession, which brings the point that if this is really right or not. My feeling is that to produce a monopoly in a section of the airport which really caters to foreign trade, where really money is exchanged, the foreign exchange is necessary, would be a problem to the traveler as well as the business people who are now running the four programs, foreign currency exchange at the main terminal. My feeling, Mr. Speaker, is that there should be another opportunity for the Division of Aviation to accept bids to open up more than one of these concessions, which is, I think, needed in that part of the terminal. And I would urge this body to look into this very closely. Although it is an Anchorage problem, I think it is a problem for all travelers of Anchorage, as well as other parts of the state, and of course our international travelers. So I just want to bring this up because it is a concern to my constituents, to the business community in Anchorage, as well as to people who travel in the Anchorage airport. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to talk about a TV program.
You have the floor.
Speaker, it's a very unusual TV program. For more than half of my life, I've been privileged and honored to be associated with the Symphony Orchestra in Fairbanks. And they're doing something very special toward the end of this month, and I'm trying to give you a lot of advance warning on it. A couple of weeks from this coming Sunday on April 26th at 2 o'clock Juneau time, 4 o'clock in Fairbanks and Anchorage, there's going to be a statewide telecast of a live concert of the University of Fairbanks Symphony Orchestra with guest soloists. Will be Paul Rosenthal, a very distinguished violinist who has lately resided in Anchorage, formerly in Fairbanks, one of the leading students of Yasha Heifetz, studied with Ivan Galami at the Juilliard School of Music, and of course many people may know he was a laureate at the Moscow competition in 1970. He'll be doing the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. And his good friend and a friend of a lot of Alaskan musicians who played a lot of music with us before he became an international superstar, Nathaniel Rosen, who won the gold medal at the Tchaikovsky competitions a year ago, will be playing the Dvorak Cello Concerto, and the two of them will be doing the Brahms double, and that will be telecast statewide live at 2 o'clock Pacific time, 4 o'clock Alaska time, on the 26th, Sunday, the April 26th. And the orchestra is something we're very proud of in Fairbanks. It's been a long time building to what it is now, and I think the members here might enjoy a quiet Sunday afternoon of good music. I have information that that same telecast will be seen on a tape-delayed basis in the lower 48 also.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to have just a moment, if I could, to speak on theatrics and comedy outside of these chambers.
You have the floor.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to recommend to the members of the body and anyone else who might be interested, there's a drama production the next three nights, starting this evening over at the, I believe it's called the Juno Little Theater over by the high school, that called My Three Angels, which is directed by Guy Van Dorn, and it involves a few other people who anyone who went to the thing might recognize, various staff people and whatnot, people that we know and work with around the chambers. It's a really delightful comedy, and might be of special interest to legislators. It has both chickens and snakes in it, among other things, and it might be cheaper. If you have constituents in town or whatever, cheaper than taking them out to dinner. I just recommend it, no matter what your motives might be. It's very good. Starts tonight at 8 o'clock.
Are there other special orders? Representative Meekins.
I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, the House in adjournment to 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.